I got to give a shout out to one person in the crowd who I noticed on the show tonight stood out to me right away. Is one of the most random things I think I have ever seen on a WWE show. We see a lot of people bring signs to these shows, and usually they're wrestling relevant. Sometimes they're not. I don't know who the person was, but I got to give a shout out to the guy who had the random CCH Pounder sign. Right there, dead center on the hard cam tonight. I loved it. I loved it when I saw. For those who don't know the greatness of CCH Pounder, there she, I guarantee you that you have seen this woman at some point on a television show that you've watched, in a movie that you've watched. She's one of those actresses I feel like you would see the face, but you wouldn't know the name. Remember the name, CCH Pounder. I was worried, honestly, when I first saw the sign, I was worried. I was worried that she may have died. But that was Kirstie Alley, not CCH Pounder. Thankfully, CCH Pounder is okay. One of the great actresses of our generation. She was fantastic on The Shield. You guys know that's one of my favorite all-time TV shows. So, shout out to that person, whoever it was. I'd rather talk about The Shield. I'd rather talk about CCH Pounder, frankly, than a lot of what I saw tonight on Monday Night Raw. I thought the first half of this show tonight was good. I thought there was good things on the first half of the show tonight. And then we had the second half. The return of Raw is bore. What a boring second half of this show. And I don't know what happened in that main event. That main event was a complete mess. We had two triple threat matches on this show tonight. This was the way that they have decided they're going to determine a number one contender for Bianca Belair and the Raw Women's Championship. We're going to have two triple threat matches on this television show with the winners meeting in a singles match next Monday in Milwaukee. And whoever wins that match will challenge Bianca, I presume, at the Royal Rumble, although they did not say when. So we had two women's triple threat matches, including the main event tonight, the Becky Lynch match. It was Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, and Nikki Cross. They went on to the main event. The best way that I can describe it, and this is not just for the main event, this is for both of the women's matches and a lot of the matches we saw tonight, frankly, but you go back and watch that main event. It sounded like Grand Central Station. If you've ever been in Grand Central Terminal in New York City, the white noise that you hear, it's the shuffling of people walking back and forth, right? You hear a lot of foot traffic. That's the best way I can describe what this sounded like. Nobody cared about either of these women's matches tonight. They didn't care a whole lot more about the other matches either, but you know, this was our main event. It sounded like I was standing in the middle of Grand Central Terminal. And all I would stand there and hear are just people walking back and forth, shuffling back and forth. No reaction to anything, no cheering, no booing. You buy a ticket to the show, it's just bizarre to me that you wouldn't react to anything, but I guess what they got, they weren't very excited by, because they didn't seem to give a shit about the fact that they were watching a number one contenders match for the Raw Women's Championship. So they were in Washington, D.C. tonight, and not a very exciting crowd, although again, they weren't given a whole lot to be excited about. I don't know what happened with that main event tonight. We've seen Becky Lynch go out there this year alone and have two of the better matches of the entire year with Bianca Belair, WrestleMania 38, and then again at SummerSlam. We've seen Becky have very good matches before. We've probably seen all those women have very good matches before. But they were not on the same page tonight. That was a botchtastic main event. And not very good at all. We had the Usos on the show tonight to defend their undisputed tag team championship. It was supposed to be against Matt Riddle and Elias. And I will tell you that I'm not exactly devastated by the fact that Elias was not part of that match. He was replaced by Kevin Owens. But it was about Solo Sikoa. That's who it was about. Solo Sikoa laid out both Matt Riddle and Elias. That's why Elias wasn't in the match. He took them both out. In fact, he sent Matt Riddle on his way to the hospital on a stretcher. And he paid tribute to a former WWE star who, it's hard to believe that he's been dead for 13 years, but he is. I'll talk about who that is in a second. The other show-long storyline involved JBL. JBL hosted an invitational poker tournament on the show tonight. And I'll tell you something, it's a very good thing that he did, because the JBL Invitational spawned two matches tonight. Were it not for the poker tournament, I don't know how they would have filled the third hour. Two matches came out of this poker tournament. Without that tournament, I guess we would have gone off the air half an hour early tonight. This is your Monday Night Raw review for December 5th, 2022. I am the Solomonster, tired, but I'm here. I wish I could be more excited about this show, but unfortunately, Monday Night Raw has fallen back into a rut. I will not sit here and tell you that it is as bad as it was at the beginning of the year, but it's getting pretty close. It is getting pretty close. Monday Night Raw is not a very exciting show. SmackDown, by leaps and bounds, even in a week where SmackDown isn't terribly good, is generally still light years ahead of Monday Night Raw. The third hour has a lot to do with that. They have to stretch these shows out. There's nothing they can do. But the reality is that SmackDown is just so far beyond Raw. It is just ridiculous at this point. Monday Night Raw tonight opened with the Bloodline. No Roman Reigns, no Paul Heyman. They're on the island of relevancy somewhere, sunning themselves. But we had Sami Zayn, we had the Usos, and we had Solo Sikoa coming to the ring. They were very proud of themselves after what happened in the parking lot area earlier today. We got footage of something that occurred earlier today when the Bloodline arrived at the building. And it showed them arriving. Byron Saxton tried to get an interview with them. And out of nowhere, we see Matt Riddle do a drive-by on his scooter. If you've never seen a drive-by on a scooter, now you did. So he comes driving by. And Elias is kind of walking around the corner. And he gets hit from behind by Solo Sikoa. All four Bloodline members put the boots to Elias. They leave him. Because Riddle, when I say that Riddle did a drive-by on his scooter, it's not like he stopped. Like, he just drove by and kept on going. So apparently he had no idea what happened to his partner, who got the hell beaten out of him. So back live, Jey Uso tells Washington, D.C., the Bloodline is now in their city. Jimmy said that the tag team title match scheduled for tonight is officially canceled because the enforcer, Solo Sikoa, bodied Elias out in the parking lot area. Riddle made his entrance. He said it wasn't cool of the Bloodline to take out his partner. He said that it was Elias's chance to finally get WWE gold. Elias will not be getting WWE gold. The best chance of Elias having WWE gold went out the window when Nikki Cross threw the championship on the floor. That's about the only championship Elias was going to win, and now that doesn't exist anymore, so now he has no options. So Riddle was very upset about that, and he said that it wasn't very Usy of the Bloodline. So Sami Zayn butted in. He said, Riddle is not the one who decides what is and is not Usy. And Sami Zayn referred to himself as the resident Usologist. I guess he is the dictator of all that is Usy here in this company. He said, what Solo Sikoa did to Elias, that was Usy. He said that what the Usos are doing, being the longest reigning tag team champions in history, that is Usy. Hello, Kingsman. Kingsman says hello. I say hello back to Kingsman. Zayn told Riddle that unless he wanted to suffer the same fate as Elias, he should turn around and go home. And Riddle said that he found himself a tag team partner for tonight, and even though he's not really bros with this guy, they share one thing in common, which is that they both hate the Bloodline. And out comes Kevin Owens. And so we had ourselves a tag team match here. Kevin Owens and Matt Riddle against the Usos for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. Owens was in control through the early commercial break, but the Usos used a distraction with the referee to take control on Riddle. And we've seen this formula before. We saw this a lot with RKO. RK-Bro. We had a team rated RKO many years ago. But we saw this formula before where they get the heat on Matt Riddle forever, right? And Riddle just gets beaten down and beaten down and beaten down. Eventually, he makes the hot tag. Same formula they followed here. Eventually, he got the hot tag to Kevin Owens. hit Jimmy Uso with a Swanton Bomb for a two count. Jimmy blocked a stunner and a pop-up power bomb and hit a super kick. And I want to give a shout-out to... I saw some orange out of the corner of my eye. Andrew Wasserman with a 1999 Super Chat. Ah, see, Andrew agrees with me. He says, my favorite part of Raw was the CCH pounder sign. What is your favorite season of The Shield? Ronnie deserved better. They're all so great. All seven seasons are fantastic. But... gosh, you know, it really is. It really is just a such a fantastic show. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. I want to say two, but five was five. Yeah, I might go with five. I'd probably go with five. So Jay and Riddle tagged into the match and exchanged strikes until Riddle sent Jay out of the ring. Owens was about to go after him, but Solo Sikoa, he stood in his way, so Riddle wiped out Solo. With the dive instead. Sammy pulled Jey Uso out of the way. He pulled him to safety. So again, Sammy and Jey looking out for each other. Back inside, Jimmy made a blind tag while Riddle was distracted by Zayn outside the ring, and he walked right into a 1D. One and done. That is it. And they pinned Matt Riddle to retain the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. Usos put the boots to Riddle after the match. Owens attacked them both with a chair. Chair shots to the back of both Usos. He chased them all the way to the back, and Zayn as well. Right, so they're gone. That left Matt Riddle all by himself. And Solo Sikoa was in the ring with Matt Riddle. And Solo, he beat the hell out of Matt Riddle. And then I noticed that he had his thumb taped up. Just like Umaga back in the day. Used to have his thumb taped up. And he delivered the old Samoan spike to the throat of Matt Riddle. Then he set Riddle up in the corner for the charging hip attack. Sikoa went outside. He grabbed a steel chair, brought it inside with him, and he placed Riddle's head in the chair. He hit another running hip attack into the corner, this time into the chair, which knocked the chair back into Riddle's throat. They did a big injury angle here. They did a stretcher job with him. They stabilized his neck. They strapped him to a gurney. They carried him to the back all the way to the hospital. They piped in a lot of booing for this. Especially now that the show is over and we see how loud the crowd was all night. There's no way they were fucking booing this entire segment the way they were. So they were piping in a ton of boos and fake crowd noise here for the end of this segment. This was a big night for I mean, the match itself was very average as far as the actual tag team match is concerned. It was pretty average stuff. But this was a big angle here, big post-match here for Solo Sikoa, who took out Riddle, he took out Elias all by himself, and he adopted Umaga's old Samoan spike. Now, we'll see if he uses it again in the future. My guess is, the reason that we had him doing that tonight out of nowhere, because he hasn't done this before, yesterday was the 13-year anniversary of Umaga's death, and I said at the beginning of the stream, it's hard to believe he's been dead for 13 years, but he has been. So my guess is that that's all this was just kind of like an anniversary tribute to a fallen member of the family. I don't know if he's going to permanently adopt this as a tribute to him or not, but that's why I think it happened this way, and if we don't see it again, then we'll know it was a one-time thing. But, you know, he's part of the family, so he can get away with it. He can get away with using Umaga's moves. Shout out to Ali in the chat. I believe he renewed his channel membership for 2 months. So shout out to Ali for joining us. Hey, Gabriella. Hello. Gabriella's waving at me. Got to wave back. Now, there was supposed to be a tag team championship match on SmackDown Friday night, and there will be, but there's been a change. Drew McIntyre is out. It was supposed to be Drew McIntyre and Sheamus challenging the winner of tonight's match, which you knew was going to be the Usos, on Friday night. That will no longer happen. Drew McIntyre has been, as they put it, medically disqualified from participating in the tag team championship match on Friday night. He posted a tweet saying, unfortunately, I am medically disqualified to compete this Friday on SmackDown. I don't like to miss any shows, as everybody knows, but I promise I will be back soon. Now, he missed the live events over the weekend as well. So there is a legitimate illness or injury that's going on here. They didn't specify what it is. can only speculate, but hopefully it's nothing serious and he'll be back soon. So instead, they're having Butch replace him. So it'll be Sheamus and Butch taking on the Usos for the tag team titles on Friday night. We had the first of several segments on this show with JBL's High Stakes Poker Invitational. I don't know where I didn't get my invite. My invite was lost in the mail. I mean, hell, I used to work with JBL. Way back when. Remember the JBL report? I didn't get no invitation. It's almost like he doesn't like me anymore. That's okay. So it was the High Stakes Poker Invitational here, taking place with various wrestlers playing at a pair of tables that were sitting next to each other backstage. And he welcomed everybody to the game. We had the OC there, and Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson were playing, or at least Gallows was. But AJ was there. Mia Yim was standing around. Chad Gable was playing. He had Otis behind him. Baron Corbin was with them. So that was one table, right? You had Gallows and I think maybe Anderson, Gable and Corbin at that first table. And then at the second table, you had Dominic Mysterio, Tozawa, Shelton Benjamin, Dana Brooke, and Tamino. What a group. What a group that is. Yeah, you know, Chadwick in the chat says, JBL doesn't like anybody. I guess I wouldn't get the invitation. I'm blocked by JBL on Twitter. So, actually, I think half the country is blocked by JBL on Twitter. So I guess I was not going to get my invite. Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano showed up. Lumis had a bag of cash, the cash that he got from The Miz. That was his payoff that he wanted from The Miz. The Miz had stiffed him on the money he owed him. Well, now he has the money. So he brought the bag with him, although JBL said, look, you know, this is not for you. You can't afford this. And Johnny Gargano was with Lumis, and he said, show him the money. And he poured the money out on the table, and then JBL had a change of heart, and he allowed Dexter Lumis to be in on the game. So that was the first cut-in. They would cut back in many more times here throughout the evening to this enchanting poker game here that I'm sure you were all very excited about. Bayley made her entrance for the first of two triple threat matches on this show to determine a number one contender for Bianca Belair's Raw Women's Championship. It was Bayley against Asuka against Rhea Ripley. So Bayley makes her entrance first, and we hear Becky Lynch on the microphone, but we can't see where she is, right? We don't know where Becky is. She's up in the crowd. She's a man of the people. She's coming through the crowd with a mic in her hand, and she's reminiscing about beating up Bayley and Dakota Kai and Io Sky last week at the merch stand. She's talking about the fact that it's been 3 years since she and Bayley have been in the ring together one-on-one. And Becky said that Bayley carried the company on her back during the Thunderdome era. She said that when she came back, Bayley was gone. When Bayley came back, that's when Becky got hurt. So then Becky was gone, like two ships passing in the night. They've avoided each other for the past few years. They keep missing each other. Bayley said the spotlight is always on Becky when she's around. She said Becky doesn't care about the fans. And she scolded the fans for not caring about what she's trying to do for the company. Becky said the damage control has been successful. Where is it? Where is it? I have to have this queued up here. Let me repeat what I just said. Becky Lynch said the damage control has been successful. She did correct herself, but before I do that, damage control has been successful, everybody. That was a good one. I love it. That was a good one. Becky could be a comedian. She might have a second career as a comedian if she wants to get into comedy. But she corrected herself. She said that 2/3 of the group are champions while the other is a loser. I would argue that even the champions in the group, the entire group, has been trying to come up with a diplomatic way of saying this, but there really is no diplomatic way of saying this. Damage control sucks. There it is. Some factions work, some factions don't work. This faction just don't work. So Lynch said that she hopes Bayley wins her match so they could face off and make some history if she is woman enough to face the man. So Becky left the ring. And Becky leaves the ring at the exact same time that Rhea Ripley is making her entrance for the match. So now we have a long standoff, right? Rhea takes her time walking down the aisle. They have the camera right next to Becky. So you get that view of Rhea as she's walking down the ring. Eventually, they come face to face and in the aisle. And it's an intense stare down. Well, I mean, it's intense from Rhea. Becky looked like she was about to crack up laughing. But it feels like a big match, though. You see the two of them face to face like that. They're teasing, you know, an eventual match, a possible match between them. It definitely feels like a big match. Bigger than Becky against Bayley, that's for damn sure. So in the match, Asuka caught Ripley in an armbar. Bayley jumped off the middle rope onto Asuka to break the hold, and then she covered for a two count. Ripley put Asuka in an electric chair position and slammed her face first into the mat. Rhea dropkicked Bayley off the apron, and then she followed her outside. And Rhea came off the ring steps with a cannonball, which Bayley avoided. And Rhea smacked the floor hard. Just landed right on her back, right on the floor. So Bayley got back in the ring. She ate a series of strikes. Asuka went for a dropkick from the middle rope. Bayley, though, sidestepped, hit the rose plant, and pinned Asuka to qualify for next week's number one contenders match against the winner of the main event later tonight with Becky and Alexa and Nikki Cross. Now, after the match, Ripley got back in the ring. She blamed Asuka for the loss. So she attacked Asuka. She hit her with the Riptide finish. The crowd was, again, I said this about the main event as well, but the crowd was very quiet for this. It was a well-worked match. This was a better match than the main event was. I don't want to say by a lot, but it was better than the main event. But both matches suffer from the same thing, which is the crowd just wasn't invested in this for whatever the reason was. They just did not seem terribly excited or even into a lot of the near falls. So it hurts the match. You know, when you have a crowd that just sits there on their hands like that, it does hurt the match. But I think the work was solid here. But for whatever reason, the people just weren't into it. Now, Asuka ate the pin, as I figured she would. When I saw who was in the match, I figured, okay, Asuka's going to be the one taking the pin here. Bayley was the predictable winner with everything that's gone down with her and Becky Lynch. You know, had me thinking that Becky would go over in the main event, which did not happen. But I was fine with Rhea Ripley not winning this match. I was fine with Rhea Ripley not winning this match. She wasn't the one to take the pin. Because Rhea Ripley should get the championship match with Bianca at WrestleMania. The WrestleMania match may end up being Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair. There's been rumors about that. But the WrestleMania match really should be Bianca Belair losing her championship to Rhea Ripley. That's what the match should be. So I didn't mind them not putting her in a position to potentially get the match at the Royal Rumble. Because if that happens, then that would tell me that she's probably not going to be getting the match at WrestleMania, that it wouldn't be some sort of extended program. It could be one and done, right? And then she moves on to Beth Phoenix or someone, which I think is still very likely, by the way. But if it were me, that's the match I do at WrestleMania. So Rhea didn't take the pin. She got her heat back right after by leaving Asuka laying, and probably means we're going to have a television match between them at some point in the next few weeks. Seth Rollins was out to the ring for a promo to talk about his number one contenders match next Monday with Bobby Lashley. You know, one thing they did tonight that I actually liked is they have announced a whole bunch of matches for next week, a week in advance. Something that really annoys me lately is that it'll be Monday at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and they have one thing announced, if anything, for the entire show. You have a three-hour show. And you don't announce anything that's going on in the show. As somebody putting a preview together for the show to get the YouTube page up, it just pisses me off. Well, now we have a whole bunch of things announced for next week in advance. I just think as a matter of you know, getting people interested in your television show for next week, it's smart to build things up the week before and let them know in advance, hey, we have these three or four or five things scheduled for next week. Plans may change, they may add more, something may have to change, but I like the fact that they announced a whole bunch of stuff tonight. So Rollins came down to the ring, And the winner of the match with him and Lashley next Monday will then meet Austin Theory at some future date for the United States Championship. Lashley interrupted the promo. He walked to the ring. He was sporting some badass shades. Lashley was, he was looking like he was ready for a night out at the fucking club or something, this guy. Rollins said it didn't feel right to be talking about Lashley without him being there, which is why Lashley came out. And he says, hey, I'm here. You got something to say to me? And Rollins said that Bobby has not been the same since Brock Lesnar beat him at Crown Jewel. First mention of Brock Lesnar since then. Rollins said there's no shame in losing to Lesnar. He said that we've all been there. He asked Lashley about his obsession with Lesnar and questioned whether Lashley is afraid of Brock Lesnar. That pissed off Bobby Lashley, and Lashley said that he knew Rollins was just trying to get under his skin. And Seth said that if Lashley isn't scared, then he must be jealous. If it's not fear, then it must be jealousy when it comes to Brock Lesnar. He says you must be jealous of him because he's a bigger star and he's won more championships. And then he tried to say that Lesnar had the career that Bobby wishes he had. And that was a bridge too far for Bobby. He grabbed Rollins by the collar. He said it wasn't about Brock Lesnar. It was about him and Rollins meeting next week. It was about the U.S. title. And Rollins said that Lashley needs to get his head right when it comes to his frustration over not being able to beat Brock, or it'll be even easier for him to beat him on television next week. And Lashley punched Rollins. They fought out to the floor. Adam Pearce ran out with other producers and other referees to try to break the two of them up. They weren't having a whole lot of luck doing that, so they all spilled back into the ring, and Lashley went to go spear Seth Rollins. Rollins moved out of the way, and instead, Bobby Lashley speared Petey Williams, who they identified as Pete Williams. He will always be Petey Williams to me. I will never not look at a Canadian destroyer and not think of Petey Williams. So poor Petey got put down here by Bobby Lashley. Adam Pearce was yelling at Lashley. They were all tending to Williams. Rollins escaped. He went to the back. And the announcer said that Lashley would probably get fined for attacking a WWE official. You know, on the podcast on Sunday, episode 785, I talked about the rumor going around about a possible Hell in a Cell match that's been bandied about for the Royal Rumble. We were talking about, you know, what matches would make sense, what feuds would make sense for Inside the Cell, and the number one feud that would make sense would be Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, because they're now one win apiece. Lashley beat Brock at the Royal Rumble. Brock beat Lashley at Crown Jewel. You've got to do a third match. I would do it at WrestleMania, but if you're going to have a Hell in a Cell match, that would fit the stipulation. And now here tonight, we have Seth Rollins on television bringing up Brock Lesnar's name multiple times. There's a reason for that. It looks like they're not waiting until WrestleMania. It looks very likely that they may have a Hell in a Cell match at the Royal Rumble. I hope they can hold off on doing it until WrestleMania. I think WrestleMania, you can blow it off and do Lesnar and Lashley Part 3. Whether it's Inside the Cell at Mania or not, I would do it at WrestleMania if it were me. In the back, Byron Saxton asked Austin Theory, hey, shout out to Darth Panic. Darth Panic has been a channel member for 10 months. Says, I remember way back when the Mega Powers were bonded. Everybody remembers that Mega Powers handshake. Me and my friends used to do that handshake all the time. Mark says, Hell in a Cell at Mania would be awesome. That, hey, you could do it at WrestleMania. I have no issue with them doing it at WrestleMania. I think that's where the match should happen. So the last time we had a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania then would have been 32, right? I mean, that would have been Undertaker and Shane McMahon, I think. And then before that, you would go back to Undertaker and Triple H, right, at 28. And before that, you'd probably have to go all the way back to 15, which was the worst, one of the worst Hell in a Cell matches with Undertaker and Big Boss Man. So yeah, you want to do a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania, I say go for it. I have no problem with that. In the back, Saxton was with Austin Theory. He wanted Theory's thoughts on what we just saw with Rollins and Lashley out in the ring. Theory said that what he saw was the past, and he said that both men are oblivious to how the business has moved on from both of them. He turned to go walk away, and he bumped into Mustafa Ali. This guy is like an annoying bug to all of these heels. Like, no matter where they go, no matter what they do, this guy is standing right there, right? Remember Bobby Lashley a few weeks ago? Just, like, Ali attacked him from out of nowhere, and it's like he just swatted him away and, chucked him behind him. This guy just doesn't, he doesn't go away. He's like a horrible rash. So Ali accused Theory of writing checks that he can't cash in. And then he realized those words, cash in, may still be a little sore spot for him. Theory called Ali annoying, told him that he should just quit. Ali said that he has to fight for everything. And he said that he'll get back up and beat Theory to become the U.S. champion. Theory told Ali to go get dressed because they could have a match here tonight. We are only 25 likes away from hitting the goal. How about that for Be the Booker? So hit that like button. Let's see if we can even do better than 350, but we're getting very close. So we were back to the poker tournament, and Chad Gable said that he was folding, and he said, smart people know when to walk away. And Luke Gallows called him a nerd, and they yelled nerd and shoosh at each other like a bunch of fucking children. Until Baron Corbin told them to shut up because he was trying to win, but he couldn't get a read on Dexter Lumis. He couldn't read this guy. And Corbin called with a straight. Lumis, though, won the hand with a full house. And Corbin accused him of cheating and said he must have cards in his glove and up his sleeve. What's this guy's deal? He threatened him, so Lumis reached down under the table. And he picked up an axe, and he placed the axe on top of the table. And at that point, Corbin backed down. He said, no, you know what? I think this guy's all right. I think this guy's okay. So at the other table, Tozawa had won a big hand, and he was taking his chips. Dominic was sitting next to her, and he was trying to steal some of the chips. And Tozawa caught him, and he accused him of stealing. And Dominic said that if he had a problem with him, you know, then you have a problem with the entire Judgment Day, and they were getting up at each other's face. Then Dominic mocked him for being short, just like his deadbeat dad. JBL said that, hey, look, you guys want to fight? No fighting in here. You could take the fight outside. And Tozawa told Dominic that he would see him in the ring later on. So again, it's a very good thing they had this poker tournament, because without it, I don't know how they would have filled the time on this show. Triple H may have had to put the tights on and gotten back into the ring himself. Austin Theory against Mustafa Ali for the United States Championship. Now we're at the point of the show. We are at the point of the show already where this show is just going downhill fast. Ali hit an early suicide dive. He tried to throw Theory back inside the ring. Theory ended up running Ali into the ring post and again into the barricade. The more aggressive version of Austin Theory is definitely an improvement over what we had seen previously from him. So I'll give them, a check mark on that, because even in the backstage promo, you know, he's just more sure of himself. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got an attitude. But I think it's good. I think it's a positive change for the character. So Ali went up top for a Hurricane Rana, and this, you know, when I talk about how botchtastic the main event was, it was not the only match on this show. There were a lot of matches on this show tonight where either people weren't on the same page or they just weren't, I don't know, something was off here. So normally, you know, we see Ali. We saw Ali against Ricochet a few weeks ago, and they're usually on point when it comes to a lot of these moves, and Hurricane Ron is out of the corner and dives and all that kind of stuff. So they're in the corner, and Ali went for a top rope Hurricane Rana, and it got badly botched. And it looked like they each maybe had different ideas on how the spot was supposed to go. So Ali may have thought that it was going to be a Rana spot. Theory looked like he was setting up to kind of hold him, catch him on the way down. And maybe that was the spot, but it did not go the way they had planned for it to go. It was almost as if he was trying to hold on, realized maybe he couldn't, and then just went over anyway, and he landed on his head. But this could have gone very badly. Like, they're very lucky that everything appeared to be okay. Theory seemed to be fine when it was over. But that could have been a lot worse. So Ali followed up with a tornado DDT theory sold great for a near fall. Ali went to the ropes, but he got tripped up and tied up in a tree of woe. And Theory is kicking Ali. He's working him over with punches. All of a sudden, someone shows up in the middle of this match, causing a disqualification. A very shitty finish to this match. Dolph Ziggler. Now, Ziggler and Theory had an issue previously. I honestly did not even notice that Dolph Ziggler was gone. I didn't care. But they were in the middle of a feud, and then I just thought it was over. Apparently not, because Dolph Ziggler was back for revenge on Austin Theory. Caused the DQ, which means Theory retains his championship. Ali was very upset with Ziggler for screwing him over and costing him the match. As the two of them were bickering, Theory shoved Ziggler into Ali, and then he posted Ali shoulder first. Then he hit his A-Town Down finish and left Dolph Ziggler laying and held up the U.S. title to close out the segment. So we're back to this again. With Ziggler and Theory. I have no interest in this. None whatsoever. Ali got screwed. He's right about that. So maybe we're in for a triple threat. And I'm sure that if we get a triple threat match with Theory and Ali and Ziggler, it's going to be a very good match, right? As a one-time match, it'd be a very good match. I don't care to see any of this. Like, I thought we were done with Theory and Ziggler. I thought we were moving on to a new chapter for Austin Theory. And it feels like we're kind of sliding right back to where we were before. Now I have to pretend to care again about Dolph Ziggler, which is hard to do these days. So we're right back to this again. I'll say one good thing about this. I do like the idea of them setting up multiple challengers for Austin Theory. So Theory has Rollins gunning for him. He's got Lashley gunning for him. Ali was screwed over. He's still going to want a match. Now Ziggler is back. So he's got at least four different people who want a piece of him, right? And who want a shot at that championship. That I like, the idea that he's got more than one person gunning for him and gunning for the title, which is now the de facto championship on Monday Night Raw because there is no WWE champion anymore. Roman Reigns has the title hostage. He never shows up on this show. The U.S. title is all that they have. So I like the fact that they're at least putting more emphasis on it in that way. That's one good thing. But, man, I do not need to see them go back to this. So we go to the back. JBL was on the phone. He was right outside the poker room. He was talking to somebody on the phone. The Miz showed up, as if the show couldn't get any better. So the Miz shows up. And he says that there must have been an oversight because he wasn't invited to play. And JBL said that, I didn't know you played cards. And he invited him anyway. He said, as long as you pay the $50,000 buy-in, you can be in the tournament. And Miz said that he didn't have the money because he was cash short at the moment, but he claimed he was good for it. He said he lost money in crypto. And JBL politely turned him down. Miz offered up his Rolex. JBL looked at it and said it's a fake. And this greatly offended Miz, and Miz walked away, and we never saw Miz again for the rest of the night. Inside the poker room, Corbin appeared to win a hand with four kings, but he had extra cards. AJ Styles caught him. He called him out on it, and they almost came to blows. They got in an argument. JBL lost his shit. He starts yelling at everybody, you're ruining this. You're ruining the tournament. I told you, no fighting, no physicality in here. Styles said, fine. He told Corbin to go get his gear on. I said, oh, God, what have you done? Now AJ's a heel to me because now he's caused me to have to sit through a fucking Baron Corbin match. So he tells him to go put his gear on, go out there, and we'll have ourselves a match. Meanwhile, everybody leaves, and Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis are the only ones left, so they're like, well, I guess we win. And they collect all their winnings, and they collect all the poker chips. And they throw some money at the dealer as a nice big fat tip for the dealer. And that was the end of our poker tournament for the night. But the poker tournament yielded yet another match, which is AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows against Baron Corbin and the Alpha Academy, JBL, sat in on commentary. Carl Anderson is going to be in Japan next week, by the way. He's going to be in Japan next Wednesday for the New Japan Pro Wrestling World Tag League Finals. And Carl Anderson is going to defend his never open weight championship in the match he was supposed to have last month before he went to Saudi Arabia against Hikuleo. So that's where he's going to be. I'm sure we're all going to miss him, right? Not that, he might be there. Well, I guess he wouldn't be there on Raw next week. No, he could be there. He could still make Raw next week, so we may not miss him after all. I'm sure you'll all be very happy that you'll have your Carl Anderson fix next week. I know you couldn't get by 1 week without the machine gun. Very exciting. I told you, long before they came back to the company, I didn't really give a shit about the Good Brothers. And I can't say they're any more exciting now than they were the last time we saw them in WWE. So JBL was on commentary, and he wondered if Kurt Angle would acknowledge that he was retired by Baron Corbin when Kurt is on SmackDown Friday night. They're going to be having a big birthday celebration for Kurt Angle. Corbin caught Styles with a deep six, even though he was not the legal man. Gable covered him for a near fall. A little while later, Anderson caught Gable leaping off the ropes with a spine buster. Anderson had the pin. Corbin broke it up. Otis hit a big overhead throw on Luke Gallows. And Luke Gallows is a big man. So that was impressive. Styles hit Otis, though, with a phenomenal forearm right after that. Gable went for a rolling suplex, a rolling German on Carl Anderson. And as he had him halfway through the move, Luke Gallows stopped him. He put his hands up to block the rest of the move, and then he and Anderson hit Gable with a magic killer for the win. The last few minutes of this were you know, pretty good, but just time filler. That's my biggest problem with Monday Night Raw. That's one thing that has not changed. One thing that has not changed from Vince McMahon to Triple H, and it's a problem that is simply unavoidable because of the length of the show, is that you get to a point in the show, you have multiple segments on the show that just feel like they're there. They exist purely to kill time. They are there to waste time. They are not there to really advance any particular story. It's just, we got to fill 3 hours. What do we do? And then invariably you end up with one or two or three segments where it's like, what am I watching this for? You're sitting through it. You could have a good match, right? So what? We have great matches on television. So you give us a good match. Who cares? What purpose did any of this serve? You could say that about the entire poker tournament. When I heard that JBL was doing a poker invitational, I didn't write it off right away. I actually thought, let's see how this plays out. Because there have been very entertaining segments over the years, non-wrestling segments. The show does not need to be wall-to-wall, non-stop in-ring wrestling. Some people think, oh, is that all that you want? No, I want entertaining television. So I said, let's see how this goes. And we had these segments, and there was really nothing very entertaining about them. It was very stupid, I thought. There was wasted potential. They could have done more with these segments. They didn't do enough. I don't mind having segments like that on TV. If they're funny, if they're entertaining. We just don't get enough of them. That's the problem. So they showed Alexa Bliss backstage. She was stretching. She was getting ready for her big main event tonight. She had Lily the fucking doll next to her. And then in the background on one of the screens, there was the Bray Wyatt logo that briefly flashed while she was getting ready. Kevin Patrick on commentary. Another wonderful addition to this show. Said that Bliss has not held a singles championship in over 4 years. So she's trying to improve her luck and get back to her winning ways. Byron Saxton was with Candice LeRae in the back after her win over Dakota Kai last week. Next Monday, she's going to be wrestling Io Sky. And she said, you know, I'm a mom now, so I'm fighting for so much more than I ever have before. Gargano and Loomis showed up. They told her, hey, we won the poker tournament, and she couldn't believe it. And then they showed her the winnings. They showed her all the money in the bag. And she was about to say, what the fuck? And Johnny got his hand up over her mouth at the very last second. And then Candace told Saxton, there's a lot of money in there. We got to go. And then all three of them left, and we didn't see them again. Dominic Mysterio against Akira Tozawa. Boy, aren't you jealous that you didn't see this show tonight? Because I know we got some people in the chat who didn't watch the show tonight. They're just here for the review. You missed a banger of a match with Dominic and Tozawa here in the third hour of this show. This is where the show crawled to an excruciating halt. These two were not on the same page early. I don't know what was going on here in the opening 20 seconds of this match, but you know, it's like one guy went to go Irish whip somebody, but then Dominic stopped, and then Tozawa crashed into him. I don't know what was going on here. They were not on the same page. Dominic hit the Three Amigos, though, later on. He got a rise out of the crowd. Tozawa rallied with a Shining Wizard. Went for a giant senton off the top. I mean, he gets some super height on this. The way that Montez Ford gets height on his frog splash, Tozawa gets height on the senton. I mean, he's landing right on his back, too, from that height. Because Dominic rolled out of the way, so Tozawa got nothing but the canvas down below. Dominic went up, hit the frog splash, got the pin. The Judgment Day, they were all out there with him. They were about to beat up Tozawa when the match was over. The Street Profits ran out, though, to scare all four of them off. Backstage, Adam Pearce was trying to flag down Bobby Lashley as he was trying to exit the building. And he wanted to talk to him, and he wanted to address what happened earlier in the show when he speared old Petey Williams. And he goes, look, I understand that you did it by accident. You didn't mean to do it, but we can't have you doing that again. So you got to make sure, you got to make a promise to me that this is not going to happen again. And Lashley said, you know, you're punishing the lion for one of your guys jumping in the lion's den, and you're punishing the lion. And Lashley said, look, I understand your request, but I warned, he warned him, keep your guys away from me. So the match is still on for next week. He's not taking his title match or his number one contenders match away from him against Seth Rollins, but he warned him. If it happens again, there's going to be consequences, which means something is going to happen and there will be consequences because otherwise they wouldn't be bringing any of this up. The main event was our last of the two triple threat matches with Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, and Nikki Cross. There was an early Sister Abigail attempt by Alexa. Looked like she was briefly possessed there for about 3 seconds, but she snapped out of it. Becky avoided the move. Nikki ended up performing running splashes in opposite corners to both women until Bliss dodged her. Becky ran over and she jumped off of Alexa's back with the idea that she would use her back as almost like a step stool. And then she would come off with a punch or a forearm or whatever it was. Shout out to Brian Campbell, subscribing to the channel, getting us that much closer to 72,000. Thank you, brother. So that was the idea. And so Becky comes off of Alexa's back, I don't know what I was saying. She comes off, not on, Alexa's back, and she's going to hit Nikki in the corner, but didn't quite get there, and Corey Graves on commentary called it a glancing blow. It's Corey Graves being very polite. So all three women ended up at ringside. Cross slammed Lynch's head into the ring steps. Alexa went for a tornado DDT off the ring steps, but Nikki blocked it and hit her with a neck breaker. Nikki then cleared off the announce table. She grabbed a bottle of water. She poured the water on her head, like Undertaker at the house show that one time many years ago. Remember, he grabbed the bottle of water, poured it on his head like a fucking maniac, and was running back and forth on the ring apron. I think he was on some kind of drugs there on that tour. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. December is here. It's the season of giving. And we're not just talking YouTube memberships or Regina D-Wave championship. Oh, Regina D-Wave championship matches. Oh, no. But, you know who you've already given enough to? Your internet service provider. That is, if you haven't already been using ExpressVPN every time that you've gone online this year. Every time you go online without ExpressVPN, your provider like AT&T or Verizon can see and log every single website that you visit. And yes, that includes all the sites that you visit in incognito mode. That's why when I go online, I do so with ExpressVPN. The app encrypts and reroutes all of my network data through their secure servers so my provider can't see a thing. And it couldn't be easier to use. Just fire up ExpressVPN on any of your devices, your phone, your laptop, your tablet. Tap one button to connect, and that's it. You're good to go, and you can browse with peace of mind. Unlike your internet service provider, ExpressVPN is committed to your privacy. Their privacy policy has even been audited by third parties, so you can rest assured that your data is not being logged by anyone. You've given enough to your ISP this year. It's time for you to start taking. So take back your internet privacy today with the VPN rated number one by TechRadar and Mashable. Visit expressvpn.com/solomonster and get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster. expressvpn.com/solomonster to learn more. So Alexa fought off Becky. Cross recovered, joined Bliss on the ropes. Becky came back. She got underneath them and hit a Tower of Doom, covered Nikki for a two count. Alexa shoved Nikki Cross to the floor, went for a baseball slide under the ropes, and she kind of stalled out in doing it. She didn't really get all the momentum that she was looking for, but Nikki grabbed her feet and dragged her under the bottom rope and then splashed her up against the apron. Back inside, Cross went for a draping DDT on Bliss. Yeah, we have all these new channel members now, and I gotta use all the emojis here. I see all the new custom emojis that the members have access to here. I see all the Solomonster heads there. You do have access to those, by the way. You can use them. So Cross is going for a draping DDT on Alexa, but now she has to wait because the idea is that Becky Lynch is going to climb up on the middle rope and she's going to come off with a double leg drop. But she's taking forever to set up for it. So Nikki has to stand there and wait for her. This looked completely ridiculous. So she's standing there. She's waiting for Becky to position herself. Finally, Becky comes off the ropes with a double leg drop. And she uses that momentum to execute the move. Right? So Nikki hits the move, but with added momentum from Becky, who lands on top of Alexa. Becky and Nikki, they fight to the apron. Nikki went for, I think she was going for a pile driver. A pile driver, a power bomb, some move like that. She had Becky between her legs. And Becky stuffs the move. She puts Cross in the position for the manhandle slam. And she delivers, I guess we can call it a manhandle slam. I mean, that's the idea of what it was supposed to be. This was a terrible looking manhandle slam on the apron. Nikki clearly was hesitant to take the move. Because at first they struggled, and then Becky finally went for the move again, and it looked like total shit. So that did not look good at all. Becky crawled to cover Nikki, but Nikki kept rolling away. As this was going on, they brought the camera in tight so we couldn't see Dakota Kai and Io Sky coming from out of the crowd. And they show up out of nowhere. They drag Becky out of the ring. They lay a beatdown on Becky Lynch. They gave her a shield powerbomb through the announce table. The shield, CCH Pounder, would be very happy. In the ring, Alexa Bliss is up top. She hits Twisted Bliss to Nikki Cross, and she gets the pin. And so Alexa Bliss is going to be challenging Bayley next week for the right to go and challenge Bianca Belair at a date to be determined for the Raw, probably the Royal Rumble. For the Raw Women's Championship. This was a terrible main event. This was just an off night. This was a terrible main event. This is probably the worst Becky Lynch match I've seen since she came back. And really, you go back earlier in the year. She hasn't been back that long. It may have been the worst match that she's had all year. It's a terrible main event. And again, nobody cared about this match, which has to be alarming because these are some of the bigger names that you have in your women's division. Becky Lynch is one of the biggest stars in the entire company. This is the main event of Monday Night Raw. Why does nobody care? They need to be asking that question. Why are the people so quiet? Why are they not reacting? I don't know. There's a problem up and down the card tonight. Could it have just been the city? It could have been, or it just could have been that they just weren't interested in what they were seeing and what WWE was selling them. When you have a main event and they're out there and they're trying to work and they're having a terrible match, but you know, they're trying and nobody cares. It's just, you know, it's sad. You know, it's sad to see that. So next week it's going to be Bliss and Bayley in Milwaukee. Looks to me like they're setting up for Becky Lynch to cost Bayley the match, just like Bayley's fellow Damage Control members cost Becky the match. So I think that Alexa Bliss is going to get the win next week. I think it's going to end up being Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair at the Royal Rumble, most likely, for the Raw Women's Championship. I think that's the match that they're going for. And probably only a matter of time before we get Dark Alexa back, and she'll be linked up again with Bray Wyatt in some way, and who the hell knows how that'll turn out. I know one person who's very excited about that, but I don't know. I don't know. Alexa Bliss is not winning the Raw Women's Championship, but that looks to be the Royal Rumble match, and I'm fine with that. Because again, Rhea Ripley should be getting the WrestleMania match with Bianca. Do it at WrestleMania, don't do it at the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble, you can plug anybody else in there that you want to. In this case, it looks like it'll probably be Alexa Bliss, because how are you going to have Bayley win next week and do Bayley and Bianca Belair again? We've already had it twice. More than twice, if you count the tag match at Clash at the Castle. That's over and done with. Ladder match, last woman standing match. There's no way that they're going to do Bianca Belair and Bayley again, because there's no need for it. So Alexa Bliss is going to get the match. It's only a matter of what show do they put the match on. It started out with some promise. The first hour of the show, like I said, was good, and the rest of this was just the fucking bore. Raw was a fucking bore for the most part tonight. I don't know what else to say about it. These shows, man, I don't know. Whatever excitement level there was a couple of months ago, it ain't there now. Let's see if people agree with me. Yeah, well, that's not good. That's not a good score. 44.7% of you on Twitter have given this show a thumbs up. It is still leading, I guess, but 44%, I wouldn't exactly call that a great score. 34% thumbs in the middle. And 21% thumbs down. At Solomonster on Twitter is where you can go to vote in these esteemed polls. Let's go to your super chats. Justin Jack, why is Raw seeming to regress when SmackDown is generally a fun show? Is it impossible to have a consistently good 3-hour show? Yeah, I think for WWE it is. 3 hours every single week. I mean, unless you have a compelling product with multiple major stars, and they have a brand split still, right? So you're already dividing the roster between shows. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to maintain that every single week. Andrew Wasserman with the 1999 from earlier. My favorite part of Raw was the CCH Pounder sign. And again, what is the favorite season of The Shield? As I said, I think it probably is season 5. But if I make one recommendation to people when they ask me, and I've never heard from anybody who's come back and said, man, I wasted my time. You told me to watch The Shield, man. It sucked. Like, no. If you've never seen it before, I cannot recommend it enough. I promise you. I promise you. You will not waste your time watching. Justin Glasner. Hey, Alex Moreno became a Sound Off superstar. What's going on, Alex? Justin with the $5 super chat. Longtime listener, first time super chatter. For here or anything, figured I would say hello and thank you. Where's the likes for Be the Booker? We got him. We got him. We'll be doing Be the Booker here in a moment. Thank you, Justin. It's good to have you here. Oh, Harold, name of the day, Kazarni. What are your thoughts? I have none. Because Arnie did nothing. Because Arnie wrestled, I think, once or twice on TV and then went away. I have no thoughts on because Arnie. Haven't thought of the guy since the last time I saw him on TV. Wink the Cosmic Grandma, thanks for the community and the content that you have created. Well, that's one of the things, you know, about these streams is that even when you have a boring, shitty show, or tonight, like a very boring, unexciting, uneventful edition of Monday Night Raw, I think, and you find this all, even on the AEW streams, people who don't watch AEW, a lot of them will join on the streams because, again, it is a community here. You know, a lot of you guys in the chat would not be interacting with each other any other day but Monday or Wednesday or Friday. So people love to congregate in the chat and hang out, and it's great. I think it's great that we've, you know, built that kind of community where even if people aren't watching the actual shows, they still want to hang out. So that's very cool. Hey, Louie! Louie! Just became a Sound Off channel member. What did Louie become? Louie became a superstar. We have superstars, we have legends. Welcome to Louie, and oh my, Alex Moreno just gifted 5 channel memberships. Happy holidays, says Alex. Gifted memberships to Cam, Don't Think Just Vibe podcast, Chris Hogan, O to the J, and Angelo. And we got a whole bunch of new channel members here tonight. You see those custom emojis. Thank you, Alex. Boots, $2 for the holiday liquor fund. Thank you. That fund is always running low, so it's good to replenish every now and then. We've got Hulkling 93. Hulkling 93 with the $5 super chat. Solo, you can't ask for matchmakers in WWE to book in advance. They have to wait and see what altercations happen while the show takes place first. That's a great point. Hulkling, I had not thought of that. You make a fantastic point. Were it not for the poker tournament tonight, that's 2 matches right there that we wouldn't have had. So it's very tough for WWE to book a show. They have to wait and see what happens on the show. I hadn't thought about it like that. Hey, Skywalker! Just dropped a $99.99 super chat. $100 super chat. The Moo! Super chat! That came from out of nowhere. That was like an RKO out of nowhere right there from Skywalker. Skywalker, I will get to your super chat here in just a moment. Thank you very much for the $100 super chat. We've got the God of Seduction with the $2. Pyro at the start could help liven up the crowd. Some weeks they have Pyro. Didn't they have Pyro tonight? They do still do Pyro at least some weeks. The Pyro, who cares about that? I mean, look. Yes, it's very exciting at the beginning of the show, right? Doing pyro in the opening 30 seconds of the show does not help when it comes to hour number 2 or hour number 3. That's the problem. So you can put pyro at the beginning of every hour if you want to. WCW used to do that. When Nitro was 3 hours, and maybe when it was 2 hours too, they would have pyro that would shoot off at the beginning of the second hour. Sometimes even in the middle of a match, the pyro would go off. It wasn't the pyro that made the show exciting. It was the matches, it was the stories, it was the NWO, it was Sting beating everybody up with a baseball bat, it was Goldberg mowing people down. Right? You give people something exciting, and that's what they keep coming back for. That's what makes the shows exciting. The cruiserweight matches, right, which were a huge novelty at the time. We had never really seen that on American television before. What does Raw have to offer right now that is unique? The way that those shows were unique back then and made you sit up in your chair and take notice and go, ooh, right? What is it that they're offering now? Answer me that, because I struggle to come up with what that is. That's part of the problem. Joseph Brooks. Although Undertaker... Oh, thank you for the $9.99, Joseph. That's very nice of you. Although Undertaker never needed a world title, which Undertaker did you like as the champion? His Dead Man run during the 90s? His Big Evil Biker run as the champion? Or his run as the 2000s World Heavyweight Champion? You know, the funny thing is, he was putting out his best in-ring work in the 2000s. But as far as which version of Undertaker as the champion... I probably would go with the 2000s, honestly. I was going to say Dead. You know, I have a special place in my wrestling heart for the old Dead Man character. And I just remember the Dead Man Undertaker would constantly get fucked over by so many people, right? He got fucked over in the casket match at the Rumble when he should have won the title and other times. When he finally won it at WrestleMania 13, it was like, all right, I felt good. I felt happy for the guy, right? Finally, he wins it. Nobody's there to screw him out of it. But you can't argue against the kind of matches and the quality of matches he was putting out in the 2000s. That was his best work. It really was. The matches with Edge and the matches with Batista when he was the champion. I mean, you can't really find a better body of work for The Undertaker in the ring than you would in the mid to late 2000s. Crazy to think about, because he had doctors telling him in 98 that he would need to retire and get both hips replaced, and there he was 10 years later putting out his best work. Groovy Goose, is the honeymoon phase for Triple H's Raw over? Yeah, I mean, I said it was over a few weeks ago. You know, now it's just you ride that wave for a while. Yeah, AEW had the honeymoon period for a while. After a while, you got to stand on your own 2 feet and, you know, give people something that they actually want to see. And that's where the hard work comes in. So, unfortunately, Raw is regressing, it feels like. Each week, there's definitely some good stuff on there. But he's got to do a better job of, you know, you got 3 hours to fill. And you've got to make sure you've got something good for the first hour, for the second hour, for the third hour. You spread it out, but you got to try to do it in a way where it just doesn't feel so blatant like you're just trying to kill time. It's a hard thing to do, but that's his job now, right? It's not Vince McMahon's job anymore. Now it's Triple H's job. Pillow versus Pillow. With the $2 super chat says, rest in peace, Kirstie Alley. We've got Skywalker. Here we go. Skywalker. Skywalker dropping a $99 super chat. Says, I recently got COVID, and I just want to say thank you for your This Week in Wrestling History playlist, which kept me company while in bed for over 12 hours. Thanks again, Jason. You are the best. I am COVID-free now. Well, that is awesome. That deserves a yes chant right there. I'm very happy that you're feeling better. I don't know how bad it was for you. When I had it in June, it fucking sucked. But I know people that had it far worse. So I still feel like I got off lucky. But I'm happy that you're feeling better. And yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because all those This Week in History segments, for those who don't know, they're all organized in a playlist. There is a playlist section here on the channel. There's a bunch of playlists. And if you ever want to go back and refer back to one of them, or if you, again, if you're sick or whatever the case may be, you want a lot of listening content, there's a lot of good content in those segments. So they're all organized in a playlist. I'm glad that you were able to make use of that. So thank you again for the $99.99. Gabe Sanchez just signed up and figured I would send a super chat before the year is over. Gabe, thank you. Happy New Year to Gabe. Happy early New Year. We still have a few weeks left. We still have a few weeks left until New Year's Eve. God of Seduction, any pre-pay-per-view routines? Favorite snacks? Cheetos. No Cheetos for me. Pre-pay-per-view routine. Well, yeah, I mean, I have my routine. You know, usually I have a separate... laptop, like an older laptop. I'll have that set up next to my other laptop here. And I'll have the pay-per-view on there, so I get that all set up. That way I have that here. I can work on my notes here. Snacks, usually it's pretzel. I'm a pretzel guy. So little pretzel twists. I'm trying to think if there's any other ritual. There really isn't any other ritual, honestly. That's usually pretty much all it is. And then I'm just scrambling to make sure I get my notes together. I don't fall too far behind. You know, I give myself the extra 15 or 20 minutes when the pay-per-view is over so I can finalize the notes, get everything set up, do a quick reboot. That's a habit I started back on my old computer. Because it was at the point where if I didn't reboot my system before I went live, many times I would get the dreaded blue screen of death. It would freeze up. So I just got into the habit of shutting everything down right before I went live, rebooting it. That way it's all fresh. I continue to do that to this day. Even though this laptop, this is a beast. This laptop is not even... Actually, no, as of this month, it's a year. I've had this a year now. But I still do that before every stream. So it takes a few extra minutes, but I've never had a crash since I got the new computer. So, you know, now I don't have wood here, but if I did, I'd knock on it. Knock on wood. Hopefully it stays that way. Hey, Drew McIncock says, I want a membership. Well, you can hit the join button. You can buy yourself a membership, but I don't know what to tell you. Santa Justin has moved on to the next house. He's got other little kids to deliver gifts to here for Christmas. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, I predict FRT, fart, against the Acclaimed will end in a stupid finish this Wednesday, and we will get a triple threat match at Final Battle. Thank you, Tony Khan. So you're predicting that Fart will not win the AEW Tag Team titles on Wednesday. I think you're correct. I think you are correct. I think the reason they're doing this match on Wednesday is because whatever the screwy finish is we're going to get, or maybe it won't be screwy, but I think they're doing it Wednesday because it will then set up a rematch for Saturday. And I think the rematch on Saturday would be for the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles because we have no Ring of Honor Tag Team title match at Final Battle, which is very weird. So that's what I'm thinking, is that they're not going to win the AEW belts on Wednesday. But whatever the finish of that match is, we'll probably end up with the Acclaimed and FTR, but for the other titles. And then FTR can win that next weekend. That's how I think that's going to end up playing. Yeah, fart. You like that? He put FRT. I'm just reading it the way that he put it in the super chat. He transposed the two letters. If you change the T and the R in FTR, they become fart. Which sounds like if Vince McMahon were still running WWE and they went back there, that would be their new gimmick. Louis. All is... Oh, Ali. I said all. Ali is like a house fly that just will not go away. I said he's like an annoying bug. You think you swat him away and then he pops back up. HBKC83. Should Sting and Darby get a tag team title shot at some point, considering the rankings are basically forgotten? But yeah, the rankings don't exist anymore. Tony Khan gave up on the rankings back in August. The rankings have not been updated since August 31st, so he's given up on them. Sting and Darby should get a tag team title match at some point, because they've had a whole bunch of tag team matches, and I feel like they've won way more matches than they've lost. So, if you think about it logically, they should at some point. Sting and Darby should get a tag team title shot. And I'll tell you something, at some point, I would be okay if they wanted to give Sting one last run as a champion, but with one of the tag belts. So whether it's the trios and it's Sting and Darby and somebody else, or the tag team belts, one last time before Sting hangs it up for good, like a little token title, you know, title win there, I'd be okay with it. Sting has busted his ass since coming to AEW. He has earned his stripes. He goes out there, he takes risks that he probably shouldn't be taking, but he does it anyway. He looks like he's, you know, having fun. And I've enjoyed, you know, largely the partnership with him and Darby. Sting has actually been an example, I think, of the right way to use a legend. When it comes to a lot of the legends and the people that Tony Khan has brought in, I think he's done largely well and largely okay by Sting. I can't say the same for a lot of other people, unfortunately, that are on the AEW roster, but Sting, I think, has actually been quite the little success story in that company. Because Sting is not somebody who should be focused on anymore as like a main eventer, right? We don't need to be seeing Sting in singles matches against Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley and Chris Jericho, although I'm surprised Jericho hasn't asked for a match with Sting yet. Maybe he'll get it at some point. This is how you use someone like him. So I actually think they've done a good job with Sting. Thunder Force 2000, New Jack Sting. He is a New Jack Sting, yeah. Thunder Force says, what champion is Hikaru Shida again? Oh, Hikaru Shida is the Regina D-Wave champion, everybody. And Hikaru Shida is going to be defending her Regina D-Wave championship on Rampage against The Bunny this Friday. Are you all excited? Should I cover Rampage Live after SmackDown this week? This feels like a momentous occasion. I feel like maybe I should make an exception this week and go back to covering Rampage Live after SmackDown. We'll do both. Should I do that? Should I review the Regina D-Wave championship match? I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens. I don't think I'm going to do that. But I'll let you guys chime in. Thomas, the stream's a strong community that is like family. It is. A very dysfunctional family, but a family nonetheless. I smoke a lot of weed. $1.99. Can I whisper in your ear? Now, you can't whisper. You can whisper. I don't know what whisper is, so before I give you permission to do it, I feel like I should say no. Brumakian Productions, what's the best steakhouse in New York City? Boy, I was going to say Smith & Walensky, but I have eaten at Fogo de Chao. Fogo de Chao was really good. Fogo de Chao is a Brazilian steakhouse on 52nd or 53rd Street in Midtown. You know, I'll go with Fogo de Chao. I think I enjoyed that even better. But there's a pricey steakhouse called Smith & Walensky. That's a pretty famous one. I've eaten there as well with friends. I mean, my eyes bugged out of my head at the end of the meal when I saw the check, but good food. Good food. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99. Which of Lashley's runs has been his best? His TNA or his current run since he returned in 2018? Lashley has been doing the best work of his career recently. The most recent run that he's had this year, I'd go back even further than that. I'd say the last... Man, has it really been almost 2 years since he won the WWE Championship the first time? I think it has been, yeah. I'd say the last couple of years. Yeah. I mean, he's doing his best work. I really enjoyed his run at Impact. That was when I was still holding on to Impact before I just gave up on it completely. But when he was doing the American Top Team stuff with... who was he feuding with? Because I was at some of those shows when they did the Manhattan tapings in New York. Forgot who he was wrestling, but... that was a great run, but I would say the last couple of years is the best run of his career. Groovy Goose, I felt terrible today. Your streams cheer me up. Well, I'm happy to hear that, and I hope you feel better. I'm glad the streams can help you feel a little bit better. I hope whatever is ailing you hopefully will pass. Yeah, that's okay. EC3, Drew Galloway. I was going to say Kennedy, but I don't think it was Ken Kennedy. Yeah, no, it was Drew and it was EC3. I think that's who I'm thinking of. Drew McIncock, I know you hate it, but I am a huge Jericho Appreciation Society fan. I didn't say that I hated the Jericho Appreciation Society. I said that I'm tired of the Jericho group and the Blackpool Combat Club because it's been 7 months of this storyline. 7 months of this feud. It needs to be over. Final Battle is the perfect place to end it. The word final is in the name of the pay-per-view. That's what I'm sick and tired of. Jericho is actually, as the Ring of Honor champion over the last couple of months, put in some great work. Some of his best work all year. Darth Panic, how long before Triple H and his creative team get fed up and pull the plug on the Bray Wyatt Uncle Howdy storyline? Not going to happen. They're all in on the Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt stuff, right down to Rob Fee, the writer that they brought in, who I think is probably overseeing all of that stuff. So they saw how the White Rabbit campaign did. They're going to do more of them in the future. I think they're loving it. I think they're loving the Bray Wyatt stuff. They're going to take their time with it, and I don't see that going away anytime soon. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, misspelled FTR. I've been up since 8 a.m. My bad. You have no excuses. I've been up since 6:30. You can't use that as an excuse. We've got Leray with the $4.99. Buy or sell Jeff Hardy's TNA run or Jeff Hardy's WWE run? Jeff Hardy's WWE run. And Mr. Backshots, would you consider the Blackpool Combat Club as a letdown? I think it had more potential. For a while there, they were doing pretty good, you know, and you had a solid group there, and Regal was leading the charge. I remember going into Blood and Guts earlier this year. There was a promo. And I remember, I really liked this promo. It was in the back, and it was Regal in front doing the promo. Moxley was the champion, but he was like, I think Moxley was the champion. He was like hiding in the back almost, right? But it was like the whole collection of the group, and I think Eddie Kingston was with them and Ortiz was with them. And I just remember looking at that going, this is pretty badass here. You know, with William Regal, again, doing the talking and leading the group. It just, you know, there was more potential, I think, to just do more with it and maybe have them challenge for the trios belt at some point. You could have Danielson and Moxley and Claudio as a trio. And it just fell apart. You know, it looks like it's, I mean, right now the group still exists, but for how much longer? Probably not much longer. And if Claudio loses on Saturday, then he'll have to join Jericho's group. And then this will drag on for another 2 months. So in the end, yeah, I guess it was a letdown. It wasn't all bad, but it was a letdown compared to what it could have been. It was so much potential. So much wasted potential. Terrible. All right, well, you guys smashed our goal. Our goal tonight for Be the Booker was 350 likes. And I'm very happy to see that we are over, well, or just shy of 450. So you nearly hit the 100 mark over and above what the goal was. I thank you for that. And my reward for all of you here on a Monday night is to tell you that it is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Bliss fan, that's for you. That thumbnail is for you, Bliss fan. I knew that would put a smile on your face. Although it's not Dark Alexa, so maybe it won't put a smile on your face. But Alexa Bliss puts a smile on my face. It is time to be the booker. Can't start the week in a better way than that. And we will kick things off here with the men's Be the Booker, where we try to book ourselves the biggest possible match that we can. I am a promoter. I'm putting my promoter hat on. I want to make some money. I want a match that's going to make me some money. And we're going to kick things off here with Kane, who's made quite a bit of money in his career. He has made quite a bit of money. Although this version of Kane that you see is definitely probably my least favorite version. One of my least favorites. I guess corporate Kane would be my least favorite version. So let's see. Former WWE Champion Kane is going to go one-on-one with Randy Orton. The WrestleMania 28 match that we got between Kane and Randy Orton. You know, I want to hit the bell because it's two big names, you know, in WWE from over the years. But honestly, Kane and Randy Orton, eh. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. That version of Kane against Randy Orton, yeah, I don't think so. I'm not in that giving of a mood tonight. Sorry. Doesn't work for me. Seen that before. It wasn't very good that time, but I don't think it would be very good this time. Let's go to the women's side here. Maybe we'll have some better luck here. We begin with Jade Cargill, the reigning TBS champion in AEW. The undefeated Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill, who is going to be working a program with Bow Wow. Let's see here. Jade Cargill. She needs to be in the ring with somebody who can lead her. She's not a ring general. She needs somebody in there who can guide her, who can make her look like $1 million. And that person is going to be Doudrop. I think Doudrop can lead Jade Cargill through to a very good match. People forget how good Piper Niven is. I don't know where she is right now. She seems to have disappeared into the black hole of Monday Night Raw. I don't know where this woman has disappeared to. Maybe she's having visa issues. I have no idea. I thought she'd be back by now. Thought Triple H was going to be changing her name. But she seems to have vanished. So we're one for one. We need a tiebreaker. Tag team's going to be the tiebreaker here. And we begin with the Faces of Fear. Here's one that we haven't landed on before. Meng and the Barbarian. Look at that. I always thought their gear was pretty cool. Those vests were fucking badass. Anything with skulls. Meng is somebody that you don't want to get on his bad side. I could tell you right now, I can't give this anything but a bell. I'm almost afraid if I give this the buzzer that he might find out and he might come and disembowel me. But let's see. The Faces of Fear. Going to be stepping into the ring with the world's greatest tag team of Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. There you go. Two very different tag teams who I think could put together with their two styles a very good match. So please let Meng know that I gave him the bell and I did not give him the buzzer. Very important that we let him know that. For my own safety. I don't want that to get back to him. He will not send the Barbarian to mess me up. The Barbarian's actually, from all that I've heard and seen, he's done some shoot interviews, seems like a very nice man. See, but that match is one of the reasons I conceived to be the Booker in the first place, because that's a match that you would never think of. Right, you would never think of the Faces of Fear against the world's greatest tag team. And it makes you think, what would that match be like if it ever really did take place? I feel like that would actually be a good match. I feel like they would gel well. Meng wouldn't sell. Meng didn't sell much for anybody, though. The Tongan Death Grip. Yes, the Tongan Death Grip put down many a man. Well, again, I wish it was a better Monday Night Raw for me to review for you guys tonight, because I really, overall, was not a big fan of the show at all. Wednesday night is Dynamite. We have Fart taking on the Acclaimed, or FTR, taking on the Acclaimed for the AEW Tag Team Championship. Jon Moxley will speak. There's a whole bunch of things announced There is no best of seven match with the Elite and the Death Triangle because the next match, match number four, is on the Winter is Coming episode, which is in 2 weeks. Actually, no, it's a week. It's a week from now. But we have a Battle Royal. Ricky Starks is in the Battle Royal. It's the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal. Tony Khan is out of his mind. If there is no segment on the show Wednesday night with a live mic in MJF's hand and Ricky Starks' hand, whether it's a contract signing or just a regular old segment, he is out of his mind if we don't get a live promo battle on TV between those two men. So I'm hoping that that will make its way onto the show at some point, even though Ricky is in the Battle Royal. If they do the Battle Royal earlier in the night, there could still be a promo segment later in the show. It's still possible. So I'm going to be back with you then, immediately after Dynamite. Dynamite is where things got crazy on the stream. Last Wednesday. I don't know if that'll happen again this week, but that was a very, very interesting, very fun stream on Wednesday. So we'll do it again. And then SmackDown coming up on Friday night. If you missed it, over 2 hours of episode 785 of the podcast hit Spreaker and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the major platforms. So make sure you download it, stream it, listen to it, because that's the only way we climb the charts. You know, we crack the top 10 on most weeks when it comes to pro wrestling podcasts on Apple in the entire country. That doesn't happen without you guys tuning in and streaming the show. So I appreciate your support there. So I'll see you Wednesday night. I'm out of here. Have a good night. Be well. Stay safe. Yeah, these pretzels. These pretzels are making me thirsty. I'm going to go have some pretzels right now. And I'll see you back here Wednesday night for Dynamite. Until then, take care, guys.